Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back in. Richmond off today. It's Greg McKinney and Lonzo with you till 4 o'clock here in the huddle on ESPN Upstate. You can join the conversation at 844-477-3776. Text line 71307. We got to kind of rush the end of that list. I want to go back and look at what Bill Bender was saying about his justification for the bottom end of this ranking of NFL coaches going into the 2018 season. And mentioned at the end of the hour that Matt Patricia of the Lions is his 32nd ranked coach because he has no record. And basically Bill says that. It's not really an attempt to insult or question the potential of Matt Patricia, just that it's always tough to rank first-year coaches, he said. And that 32nd spot could go just as easily to any of the other first-year guys. But he says the 43-year-old former Patriots defensive coordinator should be able to incorporate what he learned in New England to keep Detroit in the playoff hunt. Well, man, I mean, you know, if you're going to be in a playoff hunt, you're probably not 32nd ranked coach in the league, right?
So, yeah, I mean, I guess.
If you are, in fact, able to do that.
Are you kind of slamming Detroit by saying that? I'm talking about you. Are you?
What do you mean? No, I'm just saying, you know, why is he rating him 32nd if he thinks Patricia will have him in the playoff hunt? Not in the playoffs, but in the hunt. I mean, there are a lot of teams that won't be in the playoff hunt. What about them at the bottom?
Why does he rank lower than Vrabel?
Yeah. Here's what he says about Vrabel with the Titans. Vrabel worked his way up the coaching ranks after starting at Ohio State. He brings a good mix of that college feel with the lessons he learned in the NFL as a player and a coach. He's the right voice at the right time for the Titans, a team that should compete in the AFC South again. You're ranked number 31.
Really? Okay.
I mean, you know, there's not a lot of digging going on at the bottom end of this list. I mean, he seems to be pretty high on these guys, at least potentially. Just unproven, I guess. So he's putting all them, except for Gruden. I mean, Gruden is not unproven, right?
Yeah, Gruden won a Super Bowl. I think maybe that gives you a little bit more.
It's certainly understandable to put him in the middle of the list. At Pat Shurmur of the Giants, I might put him at the bottom of this list. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't see him doing any better this year either.
He was 9-23 in his 2 years with the Browns. Actually, with the Browns, that's not that horrible. Revived his coaching career as an offensive coordinator in Minnesota. And they were number one in the NFL in yards and number 10 in points last season. And he does have Saquon Barkley. And he still has Odell Beckham Jr. But he still has Eli Manning. Just kidding. Eli Manning's not the worst.
I don't think you're kidding.
He's
not the worst, but he's definitely not near the top.
No, he's middle of the pack, though. I mean, if you've got Saquon Barkley and OBJ, and you've got a middle-of-the-pack quarterback, you really shouldn't be at the bottom of this list if you coach well.
Except for the fact that that middle-of-the-pack quarterback is going to throw it to the other team a whole lot, no matter how open those two guys are.
I guess. Barkley's going to be a key. Can that open up their passing game? Saquon Barkley for the Giants. With Hugh Jackson at 29, I think Hugh would probably take that. He says, Bender says, if you think Hugh Jackson should be ranked last based on his 1-31 record over the past two seasons, that's not the worst opinion. But Cleveland decided to keep Jackson after an 0-16 season and has built momentum with a flurry of offseason moves, including bringing in offensive coordinator Todd Haley, and a draft that has yielded a franchise quarterback in Baker Mayfield. Jackson has to win some games in his third year, or he may not even be on these rankings next year.
But again, only in Cleveland can you have that record and still have a job.
Yeah.
Anywhere else, you're gone a long time ago.
1-31. That's just, you know, that's not going to keep a job for anybody.
Does that say a lot about the management, or does it say the fact that they just don't think they can get anybody to come to Cleveland?
Well,
to
maybe
be the coach. I don't know.
Maybe they realize, you know, it wouldn't be fair to judge him on that record based on talent that he has had. And they do seem to be getting better, talent-wise. But, yeah, he's going to need to win some games this year, a few games this year. Matt Nagy with the Bears at 28. He's a 40-year-old coach. They are trying to go young in Chicago. Mitchell Trubisky is going to be a second-year quarterback now.
If you hadn't read that Matt Nagy was a coach of Chicago and someone asked you who the coach was, would you have known?
Yeah, that one I would know.
That's right. It's in your division. Yeah. See, there's no way I would have known. I have no idea what that guy looks like.
I mean, he was in Kansas City.
I still have no idea.
You should know this guy.
I only care about head coaches. I don't care about minor guys.
How about former Panthers assistant Steve Wilks at Arizona? They put him at 27 on this list.
He potentially could do better depending on the quarterback situation.
Yeah, he started at Johnson C. Smith Division II coach in 1995. He's been an NFL assistant since 2005. Very good under Ron Rivera as the defensive coordinator at Carolina. So Bender says he thinks he'll do well and take advantage of the opportunity there. I have seen him listed at the bottom of some similar list, though, of coaches. Till he proves himself. It's kind of interesting. Dirk Cutter with Tampa Bay. Seemed to be ready to break through to the playoffs last year, but they were 5-11. So he's on the hot seat.
As you said earlier, I mean, the NFC South is tough and getting tougher. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Frank Reich, forgot about him being with the Colts now. Bender puts him as the highest ranked first year coach. Would you do that?
Even though he wasn't their first choice either. Mm-hmm. I think the fact that Andrew Luck is throwing balls right now is going to help them.
Well, and Reich's a quarterback. They think he can help Andrew Luck, you know.
You can't help the offensive line, though.
I don't know about this, though. In this article, Bill Bender calls Frank Reich to the Colts the prize hire of the 2018 offseason. I mean, I get potential, but jury's out on that for me.
Well, the proof will be if Andrew Luck doesn't play. Whoever the backup quarterback is there now, if he makes them into a winner.
Yeah, just getting the Colts back on track would be huge.
Because we can't trust that Andrew Luck's going to play, even though he's out there throwing the ball.
No.
He's been throwing the ball before.
Is he throwing a regular-sized football yet?
Not yet. Not as far as I know.
Yeah. Vance Joseph of the Broncos. You don't like that if you're a Denver fan, having your coach, you know, just a couple years removed from the Super Bowl at number 24.
Should be lower. Can't stand Denver.
24. This will be his second year. He needs to get the Broncos back into contention for the AFC West. Denver quarterbacks combined 19 touchdowns and 22 interceptions last year. That's the problem.
That should be improved this year.
Yeah. Todd Bowles with the Jets at 23. They were 5-11 last year. This will be year four for Bowles, so he needs to move up a little bit. But they got Sam Darnold. If he can play right away, and they have – problem is they've regressed statistically every year under Todd Bowles. Well, you can't do that. Can't keep doing that. So he's kind of hanging his hat on Sam Darnold.
You can't do it there. You could do it in Cleveland, but you can't do it there.
Yeah, well, true. And Jay Gruden with the Redskins at 22 on the list. Last three seasons, they bounced between 7-9 and 9-7. So they're just bubbling under playoff contention. Of course, they have Alex Smith at quarterback, so new direction for them there. Their defense has been an issue. 27th most points in the league last year. So they've had issues both offensively and defensively.
So who's the better quarterback, Kirk Cousins or Alex Smith?
You're not going to like my answer. I go with Cousins.
Why?
Just the eye test for me. I can compare their stats. Cousins, bigger, stronger looking kid to me.
Maybe, but I bet Alex Smith's stats are much better and has a higher winning percentage.
You'd pick Alex Smith over Kirk Cousins?
I would. And I would have picked him even before he went to Kansas City. I thought he got a raw deal in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm. And why do the Redskins not see it that way?
What do you mean?
They did see it that way. They let Cousins go because of money, though, right?
That's what they said.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll take a look at their stats on that one, but I agree it's pretty close. Pretty close. Adam Gase with the Dolphins, 21 on the list. They were 10-6 his first season, 6-10 his second season. Never got the running game going, and Ryan Tannehill got hurt, of course. And the defense is bad. Defense has been bad in Miami. So how about Shanahan at 20th on the list? Kyle Shanahan. The Garoppolo acquisition is huge, and the excitement level is through the roof going into this season.
I still think San Francisco is going to be scary. I really do.
Yeah.
Garoppolo is going to lose eventually, probably.
I would say, yes, eventually he will lose. But, yeah, I think they have a chance to win that division. Anyway, we already looked at the top 20. So that's the list from the Sporting News and Bill Bender. Somebody that's high on the Carolina Panthers going into the season is Willie McGinnis, former player now with the NFL Network. Yeah, he notes that the Panthers' offense was 28th in the league passing last year. He expects them to be a lot better this year, primarily because of the weapons they've added at receiver.
Well, first off, I think this is probably one of the best offenses on paper, talent-wise, in the league.
When
the
best.
You look at one of the best.
One of the best.
Top
okay.
five.
Okay.
They're definitely one of the best. So now, as a coordinator, you have to figure out how do you get the ball in a lot of players' different hands. You're going to run the football in North Turner's offense. And then you have a player like Christian McCaffrey. Is he an every down running back? You can run the ball between the tackles, but you can put him out as a receiver. He led the team in receptions last year. You'll have Greg Olsen coming back off an injury, which is one of their better players and receiving tight ends in the game. And then you have all these other receivers. You still are going to run the ball and do certain things with Cam because that's a threat to the defense. So I think it's a good problem to have. And anytime you have a crowded room and a lot of really good guys, it's going to bring the competition level up.
Yeah, he's saying that Panthers, I think actually Ron Rivera has said, Panthers are going to have to let go a really good receiver at some point in the preseason.
Yeah, I was going to say, how many receivers? There's a ton of receivers. Who would you let go?
I don't know yet. I don't know yet. You know, and I love for Damir Bird to be there, but no, there's going to be room for him.
Me too, because he was showing some great promise before he got hurt.
You're not going to get rid of Curtis Samuel because of the potential, right?
Right. And he was a higher draft pick, so, you know, that would look bad on your investment.
Right. So you got Funchess, you got DJ Moore, pretty safe. Torrey Smith, they just brought in. They're going to give him a good chance. I don't know what they're going to do.
You know, it wouldn't shock me if Torrey Smith got let go. And I know he's a good receiver and everything, but he's a little bit older, isn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, he's been around for a while.
Yeah. I don't know, though, that they would drop him that quickly. I don't know. I mean, you got these other guys that have been around for a while. But Russell Shepard and guys like that, Kalen Clay. But I'm just talking about the guys that are really contributing or potentially contributing to the offense on a regular basis. I don't know. I would think that Torrey Smith would latch on for 1 year at least. Coming in. In this offseason.
What about Funchess? Do you think he's lived up to his supposed potential?
Yeah, probably not, but he's not way off from it, is he?
Having some other major threats probably would help. I mean, because so many people got injured last year, it was easy to key on him. So another season probably would definitely help to see what he's got.
Having Olsen healthy wouldn't hurt. Just looking at the stats for Funchess last year, and he gives you that size. He's 6'4". Last year, Funchess had 63 catches. I mean, you know, that's not bad.
Well, when Benjamin was gone, everyone thought that Funchess would step up and pick it up and get a lot more than that. I agree, that's not bad, but your running back should not be leading in receptions.
No, but you jumped. Funchess jumped from 23 catches the year before to 63 last year. I mean, that's... Can't argue with that, I don't think.
You're right. That is a pretty big jump.
840 yards, so he wasn't that far away from 1,000 yards receiving. So he's become a focal point, maybe the focal point offensively. But, yeah, DJ Moore may be that now. Funchess and DJ Moore, I like that. And Greg Olsen. Yeah. Take some of that. So, but top five offense, according to McGinnis. Top five offense for the Panthers. That would result in a successful year if they're actually ranked top five in offense by the end of the year. I think they would take that in a heartbeat. 844-477-3776. Text line 71307 here in the huddle on ESPN Upstate. Break time. Back with more coming up. Stay with us. We will have the final series of the College World Series. Best two out of three starting Monday here on ESPN Upstate. If they don't have so many weather delays that gets pushed back. They've had another weather delay now. Yesterday, Arkansas and Texas Tech were postponed. They were supposed to play at noon today. They have not been able to get started. But now I understand first pitch is coming up in the next few minutes, about 2:30 this afternoon. So they'll get game one today finally underway, Arkansas and Texas Tech. Oregon State will play North Carolina tonight. 7 o'clock is the scheduled start for that, if they can stay on schedule. And that is an elimination game. Could Oregon State be out after this evening, be an early exit for one of the favorites in the College World Series? Yesterday, Mississippi State beat North Carolina 12-2. And last night, Florida beat Texas 6-1. So Texas is out, eliminated at the College World Series. So we've already had a couple teams bumped, including Washington and Texas, and could have more of that today. We'll keep an eye on this Arkansas-Texas Tech schedule and see if they get underway on time coming up this afternoon at about 2:30, about 5 minutes away when they're scheduled to start that. Braves have fallen behind again in Toronto, 4-2 now. They are in the bottom of the seventh inning. Couple of runs for Toronto in the fourth, and the Braves got one run in the second, one run in the third, so it's 4-2. Braves only have four hits on the day, one each for Albies and Suzuki. I think Suzuki had a home run, didn't he? Yeah, so that's good. And yeah, a couple other guys got hits for the Braves, but they need to have some more work to do. Anibal Sanchez is out of the game. He went five innings, gave up five hits, four runs, all earned, walked four, and struck out seven in that ballgame. So that's where the Braves stand right now. They are down 4-2 in the bottom of the seventh with one out in Toronto. See if they can get back on track. You're talking about the NBA draft coming up, which is tomorrow night. 7 o'clock coverage begins here on ESPN Upstate. Saw this tweet that I found to be interesting. You know, we talk about the interviews at combines and stuff for the NFL and some of the dumb questions that are asked. Kevin Knox was not immune from that. Player from Kentucky, forward 6'9", one of expected high draft choices in tomorrow night's draft. This tweet from Jake Fisher. Jake Fisher works for SI Now, Sports Illustrated. And he said, Kevin Knox says one team interview at the combine pressed him if he had a child. Knox was surprised. He replied, no. The team asked again, saying their intel had learned he had a child. Knox then asked for the kid's name. The team relented, admitting it was a hoax. Is that when they're admitting it was a hoax, are they saying they made that up to see how he would respond to it? It was their hoax?
I guess, unless Maury comes out from around the corner and lets them know.
You are the father.
Yeah.
This gets out of hand, doesn't it?
I'm just, what are you trying to see if a lie or something? I don't get it.
Yeah, look, I mean, I don't know if it's fair in an NBA interview to ask if you've got a child. Maybe it is. But to make up that they've heard you had a child just to test you?
Well, one thing I could think of, have you ever had to fill out paperwork when applying for a job where I had to do for a job a long time ago, and there were 100 questions. And they would ask the same question repeatedly, like every 15th question or something like that.
In the same words?
No. they would word it differently.
Yeah.
And I think it's just to see how if you would answer it consistently. In this case, maybe to see his emotions, see if he was disturbed by being asked something they knew wasn't true. I don't know.
You okay with that?
If you're trying to test the, maybe you believe that this person is a little overly emotional and you don't want that on your team. It wasn't like it was that big of a deal. I mean, if dude gets irate and throws something across the room, chances are then you don't want him on your team.
Yeah, but don't make stuff up.
It's just a weird thing to ask.
Yeah.
And then say, we were just kidding.
Well, I imagine that many of the prospective draftees in the NBA have kids. That wouldn't surprise me. But why make something up? Yeah, I mean, I get it. You're testing them, but I don't like that.
No, I don't have a kid, but I plan on going the Sean Kemp method.
Yeah.
And yes. Once I become an NBA star, I plan on having like 30 kids.
I'm going to get started and not let up.
I'm waiting until I get paid.
I don't like it. I don't guess there's anything you can do about it, but it just goes to show you it's not just NFL that asks the
But
bad
compared
questions.
To the NFL questions, it's not really that bad.
I guess. Yeah. Maybe. I don't know. Still don't love that. The College World Series, talking about that a moment ago, and there's also some more news out of Omaha today. They're going to have a regular season Major League Baseball game the week the 2019 College World Series opens in Omaha, according to the Associated Press. The Detroit Tigers and the Kansas City Royals are going to play a regular season game in Omaha the week of the College World Series. This has been worked on for a while to kind of kick off College World Series week. Major League Baseball and the NCAA have been working together on this. Two people close to the situation told AP today that they are not authorized to discuss details, but that game is on, Tigers and Royals. There's going to be a news conference tomorrow at TD Ameritrade Park, host site for the College World Series, and Rob Manfred is due to be there, Major League Baseball Commissioner. They've already done this at the Little League World Series, so I guess, you know, makes sense. The move would be similar to the regular season games played in Williamsport in conjunction with the Little League World Series. I guess. I mean, they say the week it opens, it would need to be, if you want the fans that are coming out for the College World Series to be there, you better do it like the day before the College World Series opens, right? Don't expect them to come out that early. Not a bad thing. Not sure how much of a buzz that will create, though. And, I mean, look, you're in Nebraska, so I guess you have some Royals fans around there, right? I would think. Royals and the Tigers for a regular season game, week of the College World Series. Next year. Fair enough. We'll watch for that next year and see how that's received in Omaha. Got some soccer news. We'll update some of the World Cup scores. Yes, hang on to your hat. We have games going on right now, and also some thoughts from Trevor Twelman, who covers World Cup for ESPN, about Brazil without Neymar. We don't know how much he's going to miss with his injury, but how big a deal is it if they don't have Neymar? Taylor Twelman chimes in on that coming up. Stay with us. We'll come back with that after the break. This is The Huddle on ESPN Upstate. Richmond off today. It's Greg McKinney and Lonzo in the Huddle on ESPN Upstate. Phone lines open at 844-477-3776. And the text line is 71307. Uruguay. Do you say Uruguay? Uruguay or Uruguay?
Uruguay.
Or Uruguay. Or Uruguay. I give you four options there. Anyway, those guys are in the knockout stage at the World Cup. They beat Saudi Arabia 1-0 today. So this has repercussions for all teams in Group A. Host Russia will join the South Americans in the round of 16. All right, here. I got to read this to you. See if this is good with you. I'm reading the story from ESPN, Lonzo. Goes back to our discussion.
Oh, here we go.
I'm not going to get hung up on this today, I promise. But
your tone's already changed. You're already hung up.
Are you okay with this? Russia will join the South Americans in the round of 16 while Egypt are eliminated.
No, I'm not all right with that.
Thank you. Egypt are eliminated. The Saudis, along with the Saudis, with a game still to play. So that was 1-0 score earlier today. Let's see. You got a final score of Portugal over, wait a minute here, Morocco. Why is Morocco M-A-R? See, that's throwing me off. I have all kinds of complaints about the World Cup. Why not M-O-R for Morocco?
Maybe there already is an M-O-R or something.
I don't know. And Iran and Spain are playing right now. 38th minute, no score in that one. So that's the World Cup scoreboard as of right now. What about Brazil going forward with Neymar questionable? Got the injury issue there. He's one of the superstars, certainly, of the game. But Taylor Twellman, who covers World Cup and soccer for ESPN, says he thinks Brazil can be successful without Neymar.
They don't need Neymar.
Really?
That, the way Argentina needs Messi, and especially the way Portugal needs Cristiano Ronaldo, they need Neymar, don't get me wrong, to win the World Cup. But the problem against Switzerland, it was on him. He was very too slow. He was way too slow. His decision-making, too many touches. And I'd argue that Douglas Costa, coming in, he may be a better option right now.
How you feel about that? Douglas Costa for Neymar. What's your analysis of that?
I'm sorry. I was looking something up on the internet.
Yeah. Look, Neymar, a big deal, but not the biggest deal. I saw that Messi, there's this debate about, you know, the greatest of all time and all that. I saw Messi had a picture that I guess he posted or somebody posted of Messi carrying a live goat around as if to say, I'm the goat. I like that.
It's confidence.
It's a nice touch. Ronaldo is big for Portugal. There's no doubt about that. If he was the guy who scored the goal as they knocked Morocco out. His fourth goal in two World Cup matches. Morocco made a bright start, threatened inside the opening couple of minutes. Any optimism that may have been generated was shattered when after 4 minutes, Ronaldo scored his fourth goal in two games. Yeah, the way they write these stories is just great, too. There's a different flair to soccer coverage.
All right, so I looked this up for you. Morocco, that's the reason why I didn't. The explanation of the MAR country code is similar to Iceland's, although a bit more fraught. While the country's English name is Morocco, the country is known as Maroc in French. Starting in the early 1800s, France expanded its colonial empire to North Africa, where it established a protectorate in what is now Morocco. Morocco achieved national independence. So anyway, it's because of the French.
We can blame them for that, too.
Yes, we can.
Okay. Just one more reason for me to get irritated by World Cup coverage. But that's okay. I'll give them that. Don't you like the flowery writing here? Any optimism that may have been generated was shattered when after 4 minutes, Ronaldo scored his fourth goal in two games when João Moutinho crossed and Ronaldo, all alone, thundered a header high into the net.
I appreciate...
That's good. It's flowery.
Colorful, descriptive... I can't say the word, descriptive words, but I love that. That's great.
Now, how about this sentence? Does this make sense to you? 3 minutes later, however, Morocco went close when from a corner, Manuel da Costa powered in a downward header, but Rui Patricio saved. They went close.
All right, that's just... some completely soccer jargon that I just don't get. Does it mean they got close?
Yeah.
We're near? I guess.
I'm telling you, it's just a whole different language.
Do soccer people talk that way normally?
The reporters do. Do all you people who are on our sports bars watching these World Cup games sit around and talk like this?
You know, I know two guys who are soccer fans.
Yeah.
And you know them too. One is Patrick Brown.
Yeah.
And when discussing soccer, he talks this way. But I haven't noticed Stone Man, who's been on the show a few times, talking NASCAR from our sister station, Classic Rock 101.
Yeah, what about that? NASCAR and soccer, how about that combination?
Yeah, I haven't heard him talk that way. And he would have more of an excuse than anybody because his family is from across the pond. Yeah. But Patrick talks that way.
Patrick wouldn't say Egypt are eliminated, would he?
Yeah, he probably would.
I want to test that next time I see
There are soccer fans out there who are completely offended and don't get what you're talking about right now. It's
you
just
have
normal.
To get what
normal.
I'm talking about.
It's just normal to them.
You have to get it. You have to get why that's weird.
They will look down and go, you know, Greg, that's just how we talk.
Mm-hmm.
In a condescending tone.
Soccer fans from Spartanburg are looking at me like that, right? And Greenville.
There's a strong contingent of soccer fans in Spartanburg, I'm
Anderson.
Sure.
They talk like that as they're watching soccer. It's just funny to me. I'm going to accept it. I'm going to let it go.
No, you're not.
I don't know. Maybe not. Anyway, Brazil without Neymar, they might be all right, according to Taylor Twellman. So, Brazil fans, take heart. And we'll see if they can continue to be successful. And we don't know. He may still be out there. I think they play again Friday, Brazil. So we'll see. 844-477-3776. Text line 71307 here in the huddle. Let's take a break. Back with more coming up. ESPN Upstate. Welcome back. The huddle on ESPN Upstate. Greg McKinney and Lonzo in here. 844-477-3776. Text line is 71307 on Twitter at ESPN Upstate. You want to get in and comment on any of the news of the day, we certainly welcome you to do that. Toronto extending their lead over the Atlanta Braves. Not looking good for the Braves now. They're going to the ninth inning. Braves down 5-2 to the Blue Jays today. So might be a little setback for the Braves with a loss today, but we'll see. Maybe they can come back in the bottom of the, or I guess it'd be the top of the ninth inning. They have a bat left in that game. So we'll keep an eye on it and let you know. Big NBA story of the day has been the trade. Still not made official by the clubs, but reported by Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN that the Charlotte Hornets are trading Dwight Howard for Timofey Mozgov. Brooklyn Nets trade. And I think a lot of this has to do with Dwight Howard and locker room and some of those issues. And that's pretty much what Rick Bunnell of the Charlotte Observer said in his article this afternoon. This news comes exactly 1 year after the Atlanta Hawks dealt Howard to the Hornets. They, remember, took on Miles Plumlee's bad contract in return for that. The Hornets are taking on Timofey Mozgov's $32 million that remain on his contract, a guy that's getting 4 points a game, 3 rebounds a game, $32 million. So there has to be a reason behind that, right? There had to be a reason that the Hawks took on a bad contract.
Do you believe in Kupchak? You think he did a good job when he was in L.A.?
He was pretty good in L.A. I'm not sure he's going to be able to get it done in
I'm just wondering if he has a plan, because this is like under his watch. Again, you talked about earlier that he's familiar with Mozgov.
I don't think he believes in Mozgov. I really don't. He can't. I mean.
But taking on that much of.
Just to get rid of Dwight Howard.
So you think it means more about.
I do.
Okay.
I do. In fact, I saw a tweet earlier today. I think I screenshotted that. So let me make sure I tell you exactly what it said. Yeah, it was from Howard Beck. And he said, the Hornets locker room did not like Dwight Howard. He was actually quoting an interview on the NBA on Sirius that said, guys were just sick and tired of his act. Dwight Howard's act.
I think they probably knew that when they brought him in. He's had that reputation everywhere he's been, hasn't he?
Yeah. Was it surprisingly bad?
Or is it one of those, he can't be that bad? And he got there, he was that bad.
Because, again, he scored, 16 points a game. You know, the production was there for Dwight Howard. But that's what Rick Bunnell says in this article. He's quirky, stubborn, occasionally childish, plays his way and expects others to adapt to him. That was a problem, particularly so for shooting guard Nick Batum, the Hornets' biggest investment in terms of contract. But, Bunnell says, Batum was not the only player who found it challenging to make this work. The day after the Hornets finished last season 36-46, then-coach Steve Clifford said this team lacked the spirit of prior teams Clifford coached in Charlotte. And Howard was a factor in that. Bunnell says he's not saying he's a bad guy, but he was a bad fit. And that was only going to get worse next season when Howard is yet older and there's no reason to assume next year would end in a playoff berth either.
Is there a place where Dwight Howard fits?
Is it Brooklyn?
I don't know. I mean, apparently his attitude is exactly what everyone says it is because we've heard it everywhere he's been. Maybe there is no perfect fit for him.
Yeah, maybe so. I mean, Kupchak inherited this mess because he just took over in April. So he didn't bring in Dwight Howard. He's just trying to clean it up. And, you know, that contract he signed with Mozgov back in 2016 was too much money. And whatever they do with Mozgov now will involve too much money.
I think there's also a factor. Sometimes you just like a guy. And so you just bring him in. Maybe you like what he brings to the locker room, especially compared to what you're getting rid of.
Well, that's probably fair, but, man, you're giving up a lot of production. You know, they have a new coach. Clifford's gone. James Borrego is there now. His initial comments on Dwight Howard were lukewarm, and there was no real indication that he was big on Howard. And if he made him a backup, then Howard's just going to be a bigger locker room problem, right? You put him on the bench, what's going to happen?
Is he really a starter anymore? I mean, he's getting older. I know you talked about his productivity.
On that team in Charlotte, Dwight Howard would be a starter based on talent. Yeah, I mean, but what I'm saying is you don't want to bench Dwight Howard when he's already an attitude issue. Just get rid of him. And that's what they did. So now probably your starting center will be Cody Zeller. So you're trading Dwight Howard for Cody Zeller as your starting center. Yeah? I mean, he'll be faster. He'll move more. Have more tempo on offense with Cody Zeller in there. They also avoid the luxury tax. You know, the Hornets were getting close to the luxury tax threshold. Mozgov will make $16 million next year, and that's $7.5 million less than Howard would have been next year for the Hornets. So that gets him away from the luxury tax line. And he can open up a little free agency. So that's, I mean, all that makes sense. All that makes sense. But they can get a lot for Dwight Howard. I guess the first step for Kupchak is to undo problems, to fix problems, and then try to create some new approaches to adding talent. But right now he's just trying to get out of bad deals. And so that's why they'll take on $16.7 million for Timofey Mozgov for 2019-2020. I could have just cut Dwight Howard. Some people are in favor.
Yeah, but they wouldn't have got the draft picks.
The draft picks could make that. I think the draft picks are key. Everybody's talking about Mozgov versus Howard. But now the Hornets have three picks tomorrow night. They added one for this year's draft and one for 2021 as part of the trade. Howard for Mozgov. So that does kind of make a little bit of sense. Maybe Mitch Kupchak is brilliant, right?
Maybe.
Maybe. Give him the benefit of the doubt so far. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver, talking about Kevin Durant and how he was able to sign with an already loaded Golden State Warriors team. Appearing on Golic and Wingo this morning, Silver was asked about the league's perceived lack of parity. He said, "I get it in terms of Kevin Durant going to the Warriors. It was a bit of an aberration in our system. We had a spike in our cap and enabled them to have additional cap room. The Warriors will tell you they would have figured out a way to get it done anyway." But he said the Warriors, now two straight championships with Durant, Should be given their due. He gave them some praise. He said, let's celebrate excellence. Obviously, the ownership, the job Bob Myers has done as GM, Steve Kerr, one of the great coaches, drafting Steph Curry, drafting Klay Thompson, drafting Draymond Green. He says the NBA does not want to go about breaking up teams just to break them up, to try to force some sort of parity. Okay.
We'll see how they feel 4 years from now if they win four more.
Yeah, well, you know, somebody else has got to come up and take it away. That's the thing. Collective bargaining agreement right now runs through 2023-2024. And he said they can talk about changes to the player movement season in the next deal. There's always one around the corner, he said. All right, 844-477-3776 here in the huddle on ESPN Upstate. We have our three questions segment coming up. Three questions at three here in the huddle on ESPN Upstate coming up in the next hour. We will also hear from Ramona Shelburne about the meeting between Kawhi Leonard and Greg Popovich and what the status is with Kawhi Leonard right now and the Spurs. And we'll take more of your calls, tweets, and texts here in the huddle. Text line 71307. Use the keyword ESPN. One more hour to go in the huddle today for the Wednesday edition, June 20th. Back in a moment on ESPN Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.